Man. It's good to be here this morning once again as we're here to study the Word of God. Amen. Enjoy the song service and prayer should help us get in the right attitude to worship God in spirit and in truth. This morning I want to study the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1. I want to look at the life of Paul, how he changed and was able to help others. And that's why God wants us to change so we can help others. And that's what Paul did. Paul's focus after he had obeyed the gospel was to help the church. And we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. We'll look at Timothy. We're going to look at the brethren at Philippi. I won't do all this morning, but want to just look at some things here. In Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to read down to verse 11. Philippians 1, verses 1 through 11. And then we're going to look at Saul of Tarsus, Paul, and see that he changed. And if he can change, I'm glad this is online, if he can change, anybody can change if they want to change. I might put that in there. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. A bondservant is a slave. And those of us who have obeyed the gospel, we are slaves of Christ, and we shouldn't be ashamed to be a slave of Christ. Okay? To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. If you notice, Paul, as he wrote to the Philippian brethren, Paul and Timothy, he has Timothy there with him, wrote this letter, and Paul wanted people to know about his past life in other scriptures, that people can change, that God forgives people, that God saves people. And so Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church. And yet God saved him. He saved the persecutor. If you have your Bibles, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, I'm going to be reading a lot of scriptures. You may turn or you just may listen. Just whatever you desire, but I feel like I need to read all of these scriptures and show you about Saul of Tarsus. In Acts chapter 8, and verse 3. And you talk to people, and sometimes they say, well, I just can't change. And that's just not true. You talk to people out there in the world, I have in the past, and I was talking to a lady one time, and she said there wasn't no need her going coming to church because I invited her. She said, wasn't no need in her coming to church because she's not going to change. I said, well, you can change. She said she didn't think she could. That's not true. People can change. We have people in the Bible who turned their lives around. Amen. And here's a perfect example of a man who turned his life around. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, for he says, as for Saul, he made havoc, that is great destruction, devastated. He tried to ruin the church of Christ. He made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Mm-hmm. He come and get you if he find out you was a Christian. And he thought he was doing the right thing. The Jews tried to destroy the church by force, and it didn't happen. There's no way it can happen. Now look at Acts chapter 9. Turn over a page. Acts chapter 9, and look at verses 1 and 2. We're going to be reading. We're going to be reading the Bible. In Acts chapter 9, 1 and 2. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. See, Paul had letters which gave him official authority to arrest Jewish Christians and bring them to Jerusalem. He had letters. Here's another, and I'm not going to turn over there, but Acts 22 and 5 and Acts 26 and 10. Brothers, sisters, and friends, I am convinced from studying the Word of God that there are religious-minded people who think that they are right, but dead wrong. Amen. Saul of Tarsus, he thought he was right, but he was wrong. And what we need to do is study the Word of God. Stop listening to the voices of false teachers and just study the Bible and obey God's word.
Amen.
Because God brought a light to Saul of Tarsus. Amen. And God, he brings the light to us today, and the light is the word of God. Amen. And there's no excuse for people being in any type of religious organization. There's just no excuse for it when we have the Bible. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9. We're looking at Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. Listen to what Paul says here. For I am the least of the apostles, mm-hmm. who am not worthy to be called an apostle, mm-hmm. because I persecuted the church of God. Mm-hmm. Now, there's something I see here that maybe you hadn't thought about. Paul is not to be understood to say that he had less authority than the other apostles. Okay. We know that 2 Corinthians 11 and 5, I'm not turning there, he was not behind any of the apostles. Rather, he was comparing his past with the other apostles. He says, for I am the least of apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So let me make it clear that Paul is not to be understood to say that he is, that he had less authority than the other apostles. He had the same amount of authority as the other apostles. He wasn't behind any of the apostles. But he was comparing his past to the other apostles. He persecuted the church. They didn't persecute the church. He didn't have to do that. Paul didn't have to do that. Because see, when you obey the gospel, your slate is wiped clean. But because he persecuted the church, he felt like, you know, he was less of the apostles because he did that. Another thought I thought about that, when we repent of our sins, when people repent of their sins and obey God, and I've talked to some people before, they said they still feel a little guilty. Well, let me tell you something, that ain't nothing but false guilt. Because when people repent, the slate is wiped clean. They're a brand new creature. Old things have passed away. Paul said, behold, all things are become new. So that's false guilt. That's why people need to read the Bible and study the Bible. Paul was a persecutor. And he didn't care who knew it. And when he obeyed the gospel, he wrote churches to let them know what kind of man he was to help them. That you can change, any person can change. See, he let them know that I was in one sense, you know, we call it a bad boy. He was a bad man, and he let people know, I'm not in trying to tell people, go around telling people your past, don't do that. But sometimes people would use that against you, but Paul didn't care. He let people know that God saved him. He was a persecutor. I got scriptures to prove that he was. I have more. And I'm going to show you that he repented. He obeyed the gospel. And God used that man who was at one time a persecutor. Can God use people today? He used them all the time. Mm-hmm. People who have changed and made their lives right with God. Now, in Galatians 1 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. Listen what Paul says here. He wrote to the Galatians, telling them he was a persecutor. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. One can't be too bad, what people call, I'm just too bad to change. That's just not true. I'm glad we got this online. That's not true. Anybody can change who want to change. Galatians 1 and verse 13, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. See what he tried to do? He tried to destroy the church of God, the church of Christ. See, Paul, before Paul became a Christian, I'm looking at this and have some thoughts here. Before he became a Christian, he opposed the church. He opposed it. He was against it. Paul believed the church was contrary to the will of God and God was the enemy. He thought God was the enemy. The church was contrary to the will of God and was the enemy of God. He was the enemy of God. I'm talking about Saul of Tarsus. Let me say that again. Before Paul became a Christian, he opposed the church. He was against the church. Paul believed the church was contrary, that the church now was contrary to the will of God and was the enemy of God. He thought the church was an enemy of God. That's why he was going out killing Christians. Make sure I get that right there. The church originated in the mind of God and is God's church. Paul was wrong. He was wrong for working against God and the church. But my point is, he thought he was doing the right thing. There are people in denominational world who think that they are right. And the reason why they don't follow the Bible, they go by their feelings. They'll tell you, well, I know what I feel. You tell them that God don't want us to have some one person up standing and singing for everybody, the whole congregation. He wants everybody singing. Well, didn't God give me my voice? Yeah, he gave you your voice, but there's a way that he want us to sing. He want all of us singing, not one person singing for the whole congregation. But my point is, Paul was a persecutor. I don't know, I know there's still some who persecute the church today, don't understand that they're doing that. When they're down in the Church of Christ, they're persecuting the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, and we'll be looking at another scripture, but let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. And I want to say it again, if Paul changed, any person can change. In 1 Timothy 1, and let's look at 12 and 13. Paul says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, he was very rude, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. See, Paul repented of his unbelief. Before Paul trusted in Christ as his Savior, before he trusted in Christ as his Savior, he was a blasphemer, the Bible tells us, speaking against God, a persecutor, pursuing Christians like a hunter pursuing his prey. Boy, he was, we would call him crazy. But he did all of this. And thought he was right. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And Saul knew that Jesus was the risen Lord. Let's look at, go back to Acts 9. We're going to read verse 3. I'm going to show you something here. And we're going to, like I said, there's a lot of reading here. I like to read the scriptures. And we'll get out of here just in a few minutes. Won't be long with it. But I want to read these scriptures. Acts 9. And I want to clear up. I've heard this even from some Christians. That Paul. They say that he was saved on the road to Damascus. That's why I like to read the Bible. He wasn't saved until he got where Ananias was at. I'm going to show you here. In Acts chapter 9. And look at verse 3. As we look at Saul of Tarsus. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, this was Jesus now, why are you persecuting me? See, here's the thing about persecution. When people persecute the church, they're persecuting Christ. That's what Saul was doing. He was persecuting the church. Therefore, he was persecuting Christ. Yeah. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. I'm going to come back to that. The pricks, the old King James will read. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. He was not saved on the road to Damascus. The Bible says, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. He's not saved yet. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Verse 10, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on the name, on your name. But the Lord said to him, now watch this, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hand on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then verse 18. Look there at verse 18. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Now, in Acts 9, 5 and 6, which we read all of that just a few minutes ago. Let's see how much time. Jesus did not tell Saul that he was already saved by the vision. Because sometimes people want to try to say, well, I had a vision, and God told me what to do to be saved. He didn't have no vision. Saul was instructed to go into Damascus where he would be told what he must do. See? It is significant that no inspired account of conversion exists where anyone became a Christian by means of a vision. You don't become a Christian by means of a vision. God has a plan. He used Saul of Tarsus for a reason. But God already has his plan of salvation for man. Hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with him in baptism. Because sometimes people want to use this and say this is the way one can be saved or need to be saved, and waiting on a vision, they're not going to have a vision. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 5, I want to point this out as well. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." There's a good point here that I see here that I want to share with you. Jesus said to Saul of Tarsus, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads or the pricks." The pricks against the goad, to kick against the goad, or the pricks, is an expression derived from the action of a stubborn ox, which would hurt only itself when it would kick against the ox goad of its master. You know, think of a rod, a pole or whatever rod that's got, say I put nails in it. And I'm dry, and I'm got cattle, and I want them cattle to go. And them cattle, what the cattle do, I'm trying to get the cattle to go. And I got this stick with nails in it, and the cattle won't go, and every time I try to get them to go, they kick back. And the stick with them nails are the pricks, the goads. Those cattle are going to go on. Because and when they do that, they're hurting themselves. And God told Saul of Tarsus, it's hard to kick against the pricks. Go on and do what I'm commanding you to do, and that way you're not going to hurt yourself. So to kick against the goads, that is pricks, there in verse 5, is an expression derived from the action of a stubborn ox, which would hurt only itself when it would kick against the ox goad of its master. There's a lesson here that God wanted Saul to see. By persecuting the church, Saul was resisting the proper authority of heaven. And he too was like an ox who was kicking against the pricks. And what he was doing, he was hurting himself. He was hurting himself. There in verse 5, it is hard. Verse 5, and he said, "Who are you? Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." And I tell people, wherever I go, don't kick against God's word. Amen. Just obey it. I don't need to kick against it. And I find out, I think, and y'all can correct me, it's harder to disobey God than it is to obey him. It just seems like you feel better when you disobey God. And that's what I want to do. I just want to obey God. And so Saul, that's what he did. He obeyed God. When God took the word to him, he obeyed him. See, when we take the word to people, why don't they just obey? Why don't they give up the doctrines and the traditions of men and just say, "Lord, speak, and I'll obey"? And sometimes you talk to people out there And they say that they are sincere about the Word of God. Now, I believe I got a lesson along that line. If a man is sincere, he'll obey. If he's sincere about God's Word, that man will obey the Word. And so I'm going to stop at this time. Philippians chapter 1. Now, next week, if the Lord's willing, we're going to look at Paul. Not Paul, but we'll look at Timothy. We're going to look at Timothy. And Timothy changed as well. All the people that God used had to change. Had to change and had to follow God's word. If God going to use me, I got to change. Don't obey the gospel, but I got to change. Ain't no way to get around that. And so don't kick against the Bible. I tell people, don't kick against God's word, because you'll hurt yourself. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian. They must hear the gospel. They must believe the gospel. They must repent of their sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with Christ in baptism. That'll put one in the church that you read about in the Bible. Be baptized into Christ. If you are a Christian out there and have gone astray, come back to the faith. God has a plan for man to just repent and pray. Change your mind. Everybody has to repent. We have to repent before we obey the gospel, and we're going to have to repent after we obey the gospel, because none of us is perfect. We don't use that for an excuse. Nobody's perfect. And I've been listening to sermons online, and I hear preachers, they just go ahead and tell you, you know, I'm not perfect. But we've got to grow towards perfection. If you're subject to the gospel calling anyway, please come while together we stand and sing. Please come.